It's not dissimilar to the urban fringe of any capital city in Australia, I guess. It's a place of sort of rapid and impending change, you know, as the city's kind of growing and moving outwards. And it's a patchwork of remnant bushland and a few farming lots kind of still remaining, and also little pockets of, you know, suburbia, I suppose you would call it. And within those pockets, it's a pretty lower working class kind of area. So the real estate is a little bit cheaper than it would be closer into the city. But dotted around that, you do have, you know, big estates, big sort of horse properties and that sort of thing. So people are coming and going from the wealthier part of the city. And so it's a really interesting kind of patchwork of different income levels and different... There tends to be a fair number of migrants, perhaps surprisingly, around those kind of areas. And the thing that sort of got me thinking, I guess, was a few things that happened not far from my place. And I guess because of the remnant bushland thing and it being a fairly quiet kind of area, you know, people kind of come out and do drug deals on the outskirts and suicides and that kind of thing. So it's got this sort of quasi-criminal element to it and slightly spooky element. And it also tends to be the places, you know, around the outskirts of cities where the prisons are located. So I was just thinking about all those kinds of things, and I thought this would be an interesting setting for a piece of fiction.
I'm not familiar with the traditions of Buddhism at all, so I was quite pleasantly surprised when I got to the end of the book and found that there was that background.
One of the ideas I had early on for Harmless, I also had a kind of, you know, challenge for myself, a technical challenge as a writer, I guess. I wanted to retell a set of tales from the Pali Buddhist tradition, and they're tales known as the Jataka. They are quite a big volume, 550 sort of morality tales, I guess, that have been around for 2,500 years in the Theravada Buddhist tradition. And they're all stories of the Buddha's former lives. And so they were, you know, recorded, they were originally an oral kind of tradition, and then they were eventually written down. But they were, they're perceived to be stories that the Buddha told to people who came to see him, you know, with their problems. And he would say, ah, yes, well, you know, I'm not surprised that you're in this situation because, you know, many lifetimes ago, you know, here you were doing this or whatever. So there's some really great little narratives in that collection. And the more I sort of delved into it, the more excited I got about trying to just retell some of those stories for a new audience and for an audience that wouldn't be familiar with them. And I was a bit ambitious at first. I thought I could do, you know, 20 or so into one continuous realist narrative in a contemporary Australian setting. And that became too hard. I think I've got about between 6 and 8 that are kind of recognisably left in the book, but there are others that sort of just provided the seed. And so, you know, they did develop into scenes, but I wasn't quite so true to the original tale in the end. So, yeah, I don't think you need to be familiar with those Jataka tales to get the story in the novel, but I think those people that are familiar with the Jataka will recognise some of the tales and hopefully enjoy the kind of transformation that I've done.
Two questions about the character of Dave. Was his backstory inspired by anything in particular that really happened? And do you think he really is a bad father?
I don't think he's a bad father at all. I think he's actually quite a good father. But his story is inspired by one of the Jataka tales. So there is a tale that it has kind of become the central Jataka, for Harmless, I guess. And it's the tale of, in its original incarnation, it's the tale of a concubine living, you know, thousands of years ago in India. And at the time in her area, there was a robber who was kind of notorious. He was stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. And the king in the area had kind of had enough. It had become beyond a joke. The guy was just too successful at what he was doing. And so the king put out a huge kind of reward for somebody to haul this guy in, which they did. And the concubine in the story is very well looked after. So she has some very wealthy clients. She's a very rich, beautiful woman, and she's standing on her balcony, overlooking the parade. You know, as the robber is kind of drawn through the streets, and she takes one look at him and falls immediately in love with him. And she does a kind of swifty, I guess. She gets one of her wealthy supporters. She tricks one of her wealthy supporters, and basically has, so the robber is to be publicly executed the next day, and she arranges for him to be swapped with one of her wealthy supporters who unknowingly, you know, kind of falls into the trap and is killed in his place. And then she elopes with the robber off to the countryside, and they live quite happily for a time. But at some point he discovers what's happened, and he becomes quite paranoid actually, and thinks, well, you know, if she can just fall in love so easily with somebody passing by on the street, well, who's going to be next, you know, and am I going to be the next to die? And so he leaves her, and she is quite heartbroken, and spends the rest of her days, you know, trying to look for him and sending messages to him to say, you know, come back, and he doesn't. So the robber in that story becomes Dave in Harmless, and the concubine is Sua. So that's sort of explains, I guess, Dave's motivations a little bit.
One of your events at the Sydney Writers Festival is a talk about reviving the novella. Harmless is a novella. Why do you think that they need to be revived?
I don't know that I kind of set out to spark up a revival as such, but I've just fallen in love with the form. I've always loved it as a reader. And when I kind of began to recognise it as a form, and in fact a kind of genre, you know, in its own right, I started seeing them everywhere I looked, not just, you know, in contemporary fiction, but right back, and realised that some of the books that I'd always loved, you could actually classify as novellas. And I'm a pretty minimalist writer as well. I pare back and pare back and pare back when I'm, you know, in terms of the writing process. And so I've just sort of, I actually set out to write a novel, you know, with Harmless. And I wrote many more thousands of words than I used in the end. And, you know, it was a more complex and bigger story at one point, but somewhere, you know, two-thirds of the way through, I just realised that actually what I really value is the beauty of simplicity, and I think the novella does that really well. So in terms of a revival, it is interesting at the moment to see that, you know, a lot of big name writers are coming out in favour of the form all of a sudden. And traditionally, I mean, when I first decided I wanted to write them, I kind of thought, gee, you know, no one's going to want to publish this, but I'm going to do it anyway. But that landscape has changed a little bit, and you know, people like Ian McEwan and Julian Barnes and people like that kind of bringing out novellas as a book on their own has been a great thing for the form. And the other thing that's happening is, you know, in the background of all that is the kind of digital revolution. And so this issue about word count is suddenly not as important, you know, as it used to be. So we're seeing now, you know, a number of little independent publishers coming out in Australia and overseas saying, okay, we want novellas, you know, send us novellas. And they're getting published both as ebooks and as just, you know, standalone little books. So it's just sort of this tension that I can see in the what's happening with the digital revolution is, okay, length doesn't matter so much. But on the other hand, there's this kind of pushback in, you know, hard copy physical publishing for a beautiful book. And a novella is, you know, very often quite a beautiful book. So both those things are happening at the same time. So it is a form which is starting to kind of garner people's attention, I think.